You thought you knew, but you had no idea. It's the Urban Sports Team.
Welcome to the Urban Sports Team. We're here live at Champs at BWI Marriott. Yeah, we getting that hook up again with our boy Harold. Man, what's going on, y'all? How was your holidays over the past weekend?
What's good, man? I got, you know, got some club, some gloves, some clothes. Felt kind of good, man. Love the family, man. I love the family.
How about you over there, Will? How was your holiday?
Mine was straight. I went out of town. I went to Atlanta for Christmas, spent it with my family, hung out with my son. It was a great Christmas.
You go to Magic City?
Nah, I didn't do any of that. Actually, it was colder in Atlanta than it was up here. It was actually icy down there. It was like 25 degrees on Christmas Day.
All right. How about you? How about you, Ray? How was your daughter's birthday?
Oh, man, the snow kind of messed it up. We lost about 70% of our guest list for our party, so it didn't turn out the best, but she had fun. The kids that came had a good time. The Lord blessed us to have it in general, so I'm happy with that. And Christmas Day was good, you know, blessed to see another Christmas. And got a chance to feed the homeless, which is always good, giving back. So had a good time, man.
Well, you know, this is our last show of the year, so we decided to have a little roundtable type discussion to talk about the various things that's been going on throughout the year, and particularly, you know, in the local scene with the different franchises we got going here, the pros and college. But how we going to jump this off over there, right?
I want to start the show off, first of all, asking all of you guys, what's one word that could describe the year that was 2010 in D.C. as far as sports?
Disappointing.
Pathetic.
Those two are already taken on Facebook.
Okay, disrespectful. Disrespectful.
Shout out to Thomas Carroll and Solomon Taggy. Appreciate y'all chiming in. I'm going to go with Haynesworth. Because that's
that?
All we heard
Why
about
is that,
Haynesworth. You'll see as we get through the timeline of events throughout
right.
the year.
I hear you.
Well, my thing was just the typical political atmosphere we always got going on where we're from. So, I mean, when you think about it, various people almost represent, you know, like I was saying earlier, McNabb is like Barack. The Shanahans are like the Republicans trying to take him down. You know, you got Gilbert. He's like Marion Barry. You know what? The people in D.C., even though he gets in trouble, we still love him. You know, John Wall's like Adrian Fenty, the young dude, but he's pretty much unproven. So, you know, that's how I thought of it. It's kind of a political season and shit.
Real quick, can y'all elaborate on why you chose that word?
What, disrespectful or like pathetic?
Yeah,
or
you go first, go ahead.
In terms of disrespectful, I mean, the Shanahan is self-explanatory. I feel like the fan base, even to Gilbert Arenas, situation with Gilbert Arenas, he got D.C. sports on the map in terms of basketball, and I felt like they turned their back on him. It was quite disrespectful.
Good for him.
I mean, for me, because of the Caps, they're disappointed first-round loss. Then you think of a lot of people had high expectations with a new regime coming in for the Redskins with Shanahan and George Allen, and then even the Wizards. The Wizards didn't perform to the level that a lot of people thought they would perform at this year. So,
well, you said disappointing, but is any of it really shocking for to see?
No, it's not shocking. It's more disappointing because you have Shanahan, a two-time Super Bowl winning coach. And a lot of people thought that he would at least bring this team to respectability at 8-8. I'm sorry, Wally, you think I'm going hard, but I'm just telling the truth.
You're telling the truth, man.
You know, right now, you know, with one more game left, what are they, 5-10?
Six and nine.
And
yes,
then
look at him again.
Excuse me.
Trying to lowball us, you know what I'm saying?
And then with the politics going on.
Fall one game under 500,
well,
which
I mean,
is usually
go
very
ahead, go ahead, right,
them,
right.
I'm glad you elaborated. That was great. We're going to get to these topics, though, as the show goes on, so I'm sorry I didn't mean to cut y'all off. But good explanations. Let's get started off with the first event of the year. On January 3rd, Jim Zorn was fired by the Redskins. Did y'all agree with that decision?
I did
at the time.
Yeah, I still do, and I do now. Yeah.
At the time, I agreed with it.
Man, it was no purpose keeping him in.
I don't think he should have been hired in the first place. Yeah. He applied for the offensive coordinator position, and that's what he should have got.
And and he's a quarterback coach. Now he's a quarterback coach again.
Well, my thing is, why would you? I know there's one owner in Dallas that does things like that, but he has a track record. He has a track record of winning.
Of what?
Hiring offensive coordinators before he hired the head coach. He hired Jason Garrett before he hired Wade Phillips.
And
I'm not saying
why.
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm not saying it's because Jerry Jones is a football guy. he knows football. Dan Snyder doesn't have any previous knowledge of football. All he is, he's just been a fan.
Yeah, he likes playing John Madden.
He wanted Zorn to add to. He thought Gibbs was going to stay, but to me, it's like what they did with Zorn. Zorn's like an intern who became like a supervisor overnight. It's kind of messed up, though.
Speaking of intern who became a supervisor overnight, we have our friend Harold Jewett over here. He's a Redskins fan. We want to give his take on the Jim Zorn hiring for the year.
Did you agree with Jim Zorn being fired on January 3rd?
Let me get this mic over here. honestly, I can't really tell you that. I'm going to say no, I don't agree with it because,
wow.
Yeah, I really don't. I really don't. Jim Zorn, we didn't give him a chance. We hired him as an offensive coordinator, not a head coach. And then all of a sudden, Daniel Snyder, you know, makes him a head coach. So I think we just threw him under the bus, you know, and that's what usually what we do.
But
so.
But you do agree that he should never have been a head coach,
wow.
though. He should have never been a head coach.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your point.
He should have been an offensive coordinator when he was hired for, not a head coach.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I dig that.
That's a good explanation. We finally got a Zorn supporter. But I think the consensus in this area outside of the show is Zorn needed to be fired. It wasn't his fault, but that's not the the question we had. So 3 days later,
yeah.
Shanahan was named the head coach, which it looks like that was already in the works as Jim Zorn was being ousted out the door. What was your reaction, initial reaction to Mike Shanahan being hired?
Yeah, initially I was excited. You know, we're getting a Super Bowl coach at the time. You know, like I said in the prior show, I was very happy. I thought that he would lead us back to where we needed to be at.
Well, that was my next question, actually. Where, you Skins fans automatically think it's Super Bowl. Was most people going with the notion that he won with Dan Reeves' teams?
Yeah.
He wasn't really proven.
No, yeah, back then, you're talking about presently, what is my thought process now?
I know, back then.
Yeah, back then I went off, basically off his resume alone. You know, you see it for what it is. He had two Super Bowls with John Elway, and you're thinking, okay, we got a veteran quarterback at Donovan McNabb, same thing, and maybe we can lead us to the Super Bowl down the road. Not this year, but down the road.
Got you. Now, we'll keep going with Shanahan thoughts as we go on, and you can give your current feelings as we move on in the timeline. But that same day, Gilbert Arenas was suspended indefinitely with a whole gun incident, the dance. What's your thoughts?
Bang, bang, bang. I mean, it's just a situation that we probably, here in D.C., we're used to seeing Gilbert get in certain situations. So, I mean, I don't think it was anything like shocking or anything like that. It was just the extreme that he did.
Okay, quickly, did the punishment fit the crime in regards to the suspension? Because, in my opinion, it didn't. David Stern basically suspended him for the dance. Because at that time, it was an investigation. He wasn't convicted of anything. You're not supposed to be suspended until you're convicted, correct?
Yeah.
I think that he should have waited till he should have, more than likely, he should have been suspended for, say, this season and not last season because he didn't get convicted until later.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. I mean, he didn't get found guilty and he didn't go to jail till pretty much after the season was over with. So it really wasn't, as far as a crime-wise, he wasn't a felon yet. So I think this season he probably should have been suspended compared to last season.
Well, I mean, moving on, staying with Arenas, on the 15th, which was 9 days later, he did plead guilty to the felony gun charge. And at the time, Plaxico Burress, that whole situation was still fresh in the minds of everybody. So did you think he was going to receive a hard sentence because Plaxico got a hard sentence?
Well, honestly, I mean, I didn't think so myself, man. I thought that the seriousness of the nature of the situation that happened was more on Javaris Crittenden. That's what I thought. I thought he was a bigger player in that whole negative scene than Gilbert was. But they wanted to make an example out of Gilbert and Arenas. So,
well, the major difference in between Plaxico and Arenas was just the location of it. New York City has way stricter gun laws than they do in a D.C. Even though you're not allowed to have guns in the city, New York has a really far more stricter gun. I mean, look what happened to Lil Wayne and various individuals in New York right now who are getting caught with weapons. So I think that was a major difference in Plaxico.
And how many years is like Lil Wayne and Plaxico?
Lil Wayne got a year just for being around a gun.
That's true.
Prodigy, he's in jail like 3 years for having a gun. So, I mean, look at the various people who've had gun charges in New York City. Look what they've gotten. So that was a major difference.
Excellent point. And just to add to that really quickly, Bloomberg was in involved with Plaxico. I want him to get the maximum sentence. Adrian Fenty was worried about saving his job, in my opinion. He wasn't thinking about if Gilbert Arenas should get a certain amount of time. I think the police chief did chime in. But let's move on. Let's stick with the Wizards, though. A month later, February 14th, Caron Butler, Deshaun Stevenson, and Brendan Haywood were traded to the Mavericks. 3 days later, Antoine Jameson was traded to the Cavaliers. This was a clear sign that the Wizards were rebuilding. But should they have got rid of Ernie Grunfeld at the same time?
Absolutely. I think for the Wizards to be able to progress as a franchise, they have to get rid of Ernie Grunfeld as their GM. I know that Ted Leonsis has a policy of letting people correct their mistakes, but I don't think there's no correcting the mistakes that he's made so far in the direction he's taken this franchise.
And in terms of to piggyback on what Will just said, I think that, you know, when you look at Ernie Grunfeld's track record, man, he always gets the same player in the same position. Like, he'll have like a bunch of forwards, a bunch of guards who play the same exact way and stack them on a roster, and then you start to think are these young players bust, like Jarvis Hayes and, you know, things and players like that that never got an opportunity to shine.
I think with the Wizards, once they learned that they need to develop their own players, that's when their franchise start going forward, because I can't think of the last really drafted Wizard that really developed into an all-star going forward. I mean, Butler, Arenas, and, you know, Jameson, all those guys, they got started somewhere else. I can't really think of the last Wizard that was drafted and actually developed. Hopefully it'll be John Wall, so we'll see.
That's a good point. Real quick, before we take a commercial break, if A. Poland was still alive, would these trades have went down, or would he just simply have released Arenas?
I believe they still would have went down, I think. I think that everything would have went down, because Ernie Grunfeld, he's always giving Ernie Grunfeld power anyway.
I don't think that the trades necessarily of Caron Butler and Antoine Jameson would have went down, just because A. Poland had put a high value on character players, and those are two players that were very high character, very professional.
Yeah, I agree with Will, because Caron Butler and Jameson were very big characters in the basketball community. And also, think about it, the Wizards don't really, they're not really a trading team all the time. And I still think if he was still, I mean, Arenas wouldn't have got traded either.
Well, we got off to a great start. I'm enjoying this whole roundtable discussion, man. It's been a great year in DC sports. We're live, Champions Bar and Grill, Baltimore, Maryland. We'll be back.
Oh, it's Sports Inc.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge. When we see people serving their country and one another, volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines, and the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Team, man. We're going to continue our little roundtable discussion here live at Champions Bar and Grill and BWI Marriott. Ray, what else we got going on for the roundtable?
All right, we finished off before the commercial break in February.
Now go ahead, man. Do you want to plug the information? You want to plug it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you can email the show at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can check out the Urban Sports Scene on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Thanks for interrupting me.
I had to make sure people knew how to find this, man.
It's all good, man. Again, thanks for joining us. We finished off in February before the commercial break with the Wizards. We're going to transition back into the Skins now. March 15th. Of this year, Albert Haynesworth informed Shanahan he's going to work out with his own personal trainer and not with the team. My question is, was this a sign that he didn't want to be in Washington any longer?
No, absolutely not. I just think that he thought that he could get in the best football shape with working out with his trainer. The thing was, like I said this in previous shows, they were involuntary workouts. I mean, yeah, excuse me, they were voluntary workouts. So he didn't necessarily have to show up at the Redskins facility to work out. So I don't understand why Mike Shanahan would be so upset. I understand this was his first year as the coach and everything, but it wasn't that big of an issue.
Yeah, basically, you know, he had a problem with the whole conditioning, the whole Redskins conditioning staff last year. So, you know, he wanted to make sure he came back in thorough shape, you know what I'm saying? So he just did what he trusted, and he trusted himself, and he trusted his program to get himself in the best shape, which he thought.
One thing with Haynesworth, you should respect him as a veteran that he's going to actually come into camp and shape and stuff. But at the same time, I think it's also on Haynesworth maybe to go to camp to learn ready for, you know, 3-4 defense where they're going to implement. So that was the other part. So it's kind of both ways a little bit. But also, I think Shanahan tried to show his enforcement of being the head coach by, you know, showing, you know, you're going to do as I say pretty much.
Yeah, give and take. At least a little give and take. That's all.
Well, for the franchise, it was a new regime, a new start. So considering that, I mean, should he have worked out, I mean, with the team, I'm saying?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, like any great coach, man, it's like give and take. You know, I mean, Haynesworth gave in a little bit, and Shanahan did the same. I mean, if they worked together, it could have been a beautiful thing for real in terms of us, I mean, the team doing well. But it didn't happen that
real
way.
Real quick, as a Redskins fan, how much do you think this facility had to
well,
do
we
with
had
that?
We had a bad facility. We did. And before Shanahan came, and he even tried to upscale the whole system, the off-season conditioning, things of that sort, everything. He tried to work that out. So Haynesworth already had a great before he even started. You know what I mean? So for him to work on his own and trust himself and trust the people that he works with to get himself in shape, all you can do is trust yourself.
Yeah, when I saw Lorenzo Alexander working out, I thought it was Gold's Gym. And Will, that wasn't a touchdown.
Yeah, excuse me, sorry.
You know, and Will's messing up the equipment right here, man. He celebrated so hard.
He's an Eagles fan. Anyway, if you've been following the show from the very beginning, obviously you have been. You're on the internet. we're going to be going in and out of teams. Capitals, Wizards, Redskins. So moving on to March 26th. We were just in February. March 26th, that's the next big event that we had in DC sports this year. Gilbert Arenas was sentenced to only 1 month in a halfway house. Was that too soft?
It's fair.
Gun charges.
That's fair. I agree with it. I thought there wasn't a big deal. I didn't think it was a big deal anyway, period.
I think there was...
I mean, go ahead, Will.
I think there was a little bit of leniency because he's a basketball player, but in the grand scheme of things, I don't think that his having the guns in the locker room really affected or hurt anyone.
Well, if it was one of us, we would got much more time to win.
Well, when you bring your gun to work, do they just say, hey, just bring your gun to work day and just show it around in the locker room? And
I keep mine in my bag.
Yeah.
Right. And then when you have a card game during your lunch break, do you put a gun on the table saying, pick one? No, absolutely not. Anyway, in hindsight, should the Wizards have tried to terminate his contract right then and there as soon as he was sentenced?
No. Everybody deserves a second chance.
Because of the business of the NBA, they would have had to pay him some money anyway, so you might as well
this individual we're just cheering for right now in Michael Vick. Everybody deserves a second chance. So why cut him?
He even got a second chance.
I'm just saying with the Wizards, though, in just terms of everybody deserving a second chance.
I think the collective bargaining agreement in the NBA and NFL are totally different. So in the NFL, you can terminate a player's contract.
It's hard to do in the NBA.
In the NBA, it's hard to terminate a player's contract.
That's a good point. I really didn't want to compare the two, but Wally brought up the big factor, which they're similar situations, so I understand why you brought it up. But Vic was terminated before he got a second chance.
No, I agree. I'm saying second chance, period. Thanks, Ray.
let's move on. A couple days later, April 4th, the Redskins signed Donovan McNabb. They acquired him from the Eagles. Looking back, was that the right move?
No, it wasn't the right move at the moment due to what's going on now. But, in terms of at the time, what I thought?
No, April 4th, what did you think of the move?
At that time? Oh, I like the move. But he said looking back.
Yeah, we just put it in the frame of reference.
Oh, okay.
April 4th. Was it a great move?
Yeah, I love the move back then.
I mean, I think it was a great move. They just didn't do the right thing with the move. And that's on coaching and stuff like that. I mean, when you get a player like Donovan, you would expect to do more with it, but they didn't take advantage of it. That's all.
Okay, anybody but Wally, answer this question. Whose decision was it really? Snyder, Bruce Allen, Shanahan?
Why everybody but me?
Because I see Snyder's on it.
I mean, I think Snyder, he's always seen Donovan play, and it's his first, it's a big opportunity to get a player of Donovan's caliber, so, I mean, he pulled the trigger, he was there, he got him.
This move reeks of Daniel Snyder. I mean, during the offseason, we all know that the Redskins are the paper champions. They always, during the offseason, they get the best free agents, they make the best player, they trade for the best player. This is a move that definitely Daniel Snyder endorsed.
I totally disagree. Like I said in our previous episode, the trend within this organization is with Shanahan is that, you know, they leak out information. If it was a true Snyder move, it would have been leaked out. It would have been leaked out.
So you
they
think
got
it was a
everything.
Shanahan move?
Of course. He wanted to, he likes veteran quarterbacks.
Even though Shanahan doesn't like black quarterbacks?
He likes veteran quarterbacks. He likes mobile quarterbacks.
Shanahan doesn't like black quarterbacks.
Where's it been stated he doesn't like black quarterbacks?
Have you ever seen a black quarterback in Denver?
Has he ever said he doesn't like black quarterbacks? How many good black quarterbacks can we say to actually in the league anyway?
It's a lot.
Not that many, honestly. I'm a black quarterback. I'm a fan of black quarterbacks.
We're talking
not
about
that
this
many.
On the record because I'd have heard enough of you and your black quarterback.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, no, there's not a lot. Like, not a rack of them in the league. That's all I'm saying.
So you think it's a Shanahan move?
It's a Shanahan move. He likes mobile quarterbacks. Donovan McNabb fits the mold in terms of a Shanahan quarterback. He's mobile. He likes somebody to run the boot. He can run the boot, and he has a powerful arm. Like John Elway, Jay Cutler. That's a Shanahan kind of quarterback. Black or white.
It's a great debate, guys, but we got to move on. LJ Smith just scored a touchdown for the
LJ's Harbor. That was great.
Okay,
LJ Smith just get busted on table. What are you talking about?
That was April 4th when the Redskins acquired Donovan McNabb. The fan base is excited. Sports radio is going crazy.
Like LJ Smith, though.
The Urban Sports Scene wasn't even in existence when the Redskins acquired Donovan McNabb. Anyway, 3 days later, despite a number of reports from various news outlets, ESPN's Adam Schefter, Shanahan's boy, stated the Redskins are not shopping Haynesworth or having any trade discussions involving his name since March, since the end of March. And at the time, Shanahan and Allen confirmed that. But knowing what we know now, Haynesworth was shopping himself. So was that a first sign that Shanahan is kind of dishonest? Or do you feel like he was being dishonest at all?
I think you can see by the way the season played out is how Shanahan is. I mean, you didn't want to think that early in the beginning of NFL offseason, but as the season played out more, I mean, you kind of get an idea of what this guy is, and he's kind of crooked. So I guess he's in the right city.
Well, I mean, looking at the timeline of events, it seems like it's been a lot of ups and downs in this 2010 year for DC Sports, because we had Redskins acquiring McNabb, then you got the negative news 3 days later on the 7th of April. 4 days after that, the savior, Stephen Strasburg, made his minor league debut. A lot of people in the city felt, and outside the city, including us, felt like he should have just started in the major leagues. What's your thoughts?
They think they did the right thing. He should never start in the major league. All young pitchers need to get some training in the minor league system so they can teach you. That's where they basically teach you from scratch. So he can get some kind of get some confidence too.
I mean, I think they did the right thing. I mean, the minor leagues, the purpose of the minor league is to groom you as a professional athlete. It's not really to see your ability, it's to groom you as a professional athlete, and they served its purpose.
Hey, but wasn't he too talented for the minor leagues? I think he was. I'm sorry.
Well, there are a lot of young phenoms in terms of that you would think they're too talented for the minor leagues. But you know what? When you get to the majors, it's a different beast, man. The majors is a different beast.
Yeah, go ahead. The thing about his talent, he has to learn to control his talent, which is the purpose of the minor leagues. I mean, he can throw the ball fast, but they want to be able to control his the number of pitches he pitches, the different types of pitches. That's all what the minor leagues' purpose is for.
Just like my man said, everybody's wussies. The Nationals are wussies. They should have started him off in the major leagues, made some money from the beginning of the year, not on veggie dogs or whatever they did at their stadium. Nice stadium, though. They got five guys. Anyway, let's move on. Again, a year of ups and downs. That was April 11th. Stephen Strasburg made his debut in the minor leagues. April 14th, it was announced that Haynesworth will not be attending voluntary minicamps. You know your feelings, Will T, so I'm sorry. I got to start with one of these guys. Should he have been traded right then and there?
No, I think, I agree with Will T. It was voluntary. So, I mean, you know, he had the choice. He shouldn't get traded because he didn't want to go to voluntary training camp or voluntary camp, excuse me. So, I agree. I think that they shouldn't have traded him.
I mean, Will talks about all the time is involuntary and all those things. As long as he comes to play and ready to play and shake during the regular preseason and training camp, that's what matters. The rest of the stuff is just, they need to know what he's doing.
If it wasn't a money issue, they would have traded Haynesworth. And I don't know how many times we mentioned him, but this is my point in the beginning. Haynesworth dominated the headlines for many weeks. But 2 weeks later, after this news, he wasn't going to attend a voluntary, quote-unquote, minicamp. The Capitals were eliminated as the number one seed, losing to Montreal, who was the AFC. Is DC cursed? I mean, good gosh, we can't get a title, not even from a favorite.
I don't think, I mean, it seems like it. I don't believe in curses and things of that sort, but I mean, the Caps, speaking of the Caps, though, I mean, yeah, the Caps have always been that hockey team that's never been, you never thought of as a champion, but they've always been a competitive hockey team. So I think, all in all, the fan base pretty much didn't have all that, I didn't have the confidence thing in the Caps to win it all, because I didn't.
Well, the thing about hockey is when it comes to all that seeding, you might as well just throw that out the door, because I mean, hockey is on for whatever team can pretty much get hot during the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, upsets happen all the time during the playoffs in hockey. So, I mean, that's usually how it is.
All right, good point. Now, I don't know how much you guys may have thought about this before the show, but was this the biggest D.C. sports collapse ever?
In terms of what's – oh, in terms of the Caps?
Yeah, I mean, or was it Georgetown being eliminated by Ohio in the second round last year?
No.
That's so freaking dirty. And you know it's dirty. Just even mention that.
I don't think so.
You know what?
Yeah,
I'll say yes. So. I'll say yes.
Why would you say yes?
Because I think that, you know, the Caps, in terms of the national media and everything, everybody pegged them to go to the Stanley Cup. Everybody pegged them to go to the Stanley Cup. They didn't have Montreal even competing with them. And for them to knock off the Caps, period, yeah, I think it was the biggest collapse in D.C. history. Other than the Georgetown losing to, what's the name? Not the Ohio State, the old...
Ohio.
No, Ohio. The even older than that, when Patrick Ewing was down there.
Oh, Villanova?
Villanova. Everyone thought they would win that game.
No, I don't think that was... You can consider that a meltdown.
But, I mean, but they were, like, highly favored, you know what I mean, other than that game.
Well, the thing about the Villanova-Georgetown, I mean, they play in the same conference, so, I mean, they know each other, you know,
when the odds are that they have no chance to beat you, it's a whole different thing.
I think with the Capitals, I think the Georgetown losing Ohio would probably be bigger, particularly for this year, because they ain't one play on Ohio. I mean, I don't even know they even have a basketball team.
The hottest three-point game I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, so... I think that's a way bigger upset, because Georgetown was at least a 3 seed. Everyone expected them at least to get to the
3 seed. You're right, 3-14.
Hey, it's 3-14. A great debate. We need to post it on Facebook and Twitter and see what everybody else thinks.
Yeah, most definitely, man.
But during this time, again, it was 2 weeks after Albert Haynesworth announced that he wasn't going to attend the voluntary minicamps. So he was still the talk of the town. And around the same time, talk surfaced that the Vikings and Titans were interested in Haynesworth. So, was the whole Albert Haynesworth news overshadowing the fact that the Capitals just were eliminated by AC? I mean, this is a football town.
Yeah, that was going to be my point. This is a football town. Football is the sport that dominates the talk shows around here. So, I think it is the news that dominated.
I mean, of course, the Redskins are number one here. Redskins are the number one team, and basketball is the number one sport that everyone likes. So, I mean, it's always going to dominate it.
All right, well, I mean, I'm enjoying this roundtable discussion. I hope y'all listening are enjoying it just as much as we are. We're going to get back to Strasburg as soon as we come back for commercial break. It's the Urban Sports Scene Live. PWI Marriott, Champions Bar and Grill.
It was a clear black night. What's up, this is Warren G, you know what I'm saying? I'm here giving it up for Rad because they do a lot of good things for people. Before you drink, make sure that you got somebody that can drive your butt home so you won't crash or get pulled over and get a DUI. So go ahead and follow the route and everything will be cool. And don't be no fools. Peace, baby, Warren G.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, Rad, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Been a ride. Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. We're still live at Champions Bar and Grill, BWI Marriott. Continue our little roundtable discussion. What's going on in DC sports for the year, man? Where we leave off at, right?
Before the commercial, we left off at the very end of April. That's right when this show got started, man. So it's a good time for the Urban Sports Scene, but a bad time for DC. However, at the beginning of May, we got some good news. May 4th, Steven Strasburg, who we talked about earlier, was promoted to AAA after he dominated AA with a 1.64 ERA. At the time, this was a headline with him setting minor league attendance records. Also, minor league baseball games on television because of this guy. So, what were your thoughts at that time? And do you feel like this helped heal some wounds for Caps fans?
At the time, I thought that it was, you know, good for the area, you know, to have this phenom out here pitching well, too. You know, he didn't seem like he was going to be a bust. And I think about that time, I mean, you know, we're getting another young player that we're going to talk about shortly that got drafted by another organization. So I think that, you know, Strasburg definitely was, you know, that dude.
I think the Strasburg news came at the right time because that's pretty much like a downside of sports in general. Because not a lot's going on during that time period anyway. So with that Strasburg news, it's picking up the interest in local sports in general anyway. So that's one thing that really helped televising his games and stuff like that.
It didn't help Capitals fans. But actually, we have a guest joining us now. What's your name?
My name is Valerie.
All right, Valerie. We're talking about Steven Strasburg and how he changed the complexion of baseball in the D.C. area. What do you think about Steven Strasburg? Or do you follow baseball at all?
I do a little bit. It's unfortunate he got injured.
Okay.
So long.
We're going to get there later. Thanks for jumping in here for us, bro. that's cool. We thanks for joining us. But you stay here 1 second, though.
Okay.
We're
going
to transition to basketball. 2 weeks after Strasburg was promoted to AAA, the Wizards got the number one pick in the NBA draft. Are you a Wizards fan, basketball fan?
I'm a basketball fan, but I don't watch Wizards.
Okay.
Sorry.
We don't either, but you can still give an opinion, though.
How do you feel about John Wall?
About who?
John Wall.
I don't follow them at all. I just want to tell. I'm sorry.
Who do you follow then?
I used to follow the Bulls when they were good, and the Pistons. Yep.
You haven't watched basketball like 20 years.
Yeah, in years. Yeah. Scottie Pippen.
Oh, wow.
Isaiah good. Thomas's.
Yeah, Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. They were
Did
my
you know
favorite.
What, year Isaiah Thomas got drafted?
You shut up.
Okay, let me ask you real quick while you're here. What do you like about sports? What's
I love
favorite?
The energy. Okay. The teamwork, the passion. The teamwork especially.
Okay.
The hard work.
I like it.
You know?
No, that's good.
Especially in football.
You got a favorite sport?
Football and baseball.
Who's football team?
Oh, and hockey.
Who's your football team?
Ravens.
Ravens?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I used to be a Colts girl because they're from Indiana, but now I'm a Ravens. Yeah.
Okay. Who's your hockey team?
Well, I got to go with the Caps.
Okay.
Got to go with the Caps.
There you go. Well, let me go back in our timeline. Let me ask you a question. The Caps, after their disappointing first round loss, how did you feel as a Caps fan?
Well, it's disappointing, but the season's not over.
Okay. I like that. Okay. How do you feel about the upcoming game against the Penguins?
Oh, I think that's going to be great. It's a classic,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's the Winter Classic, and it's just going to be part of history. Fantastic.
Yeah, we'll get there later on, too. You've been jumping ahead. No. My last question is, this isn't related to our timeline or 2010 D.C. sports,
uh-huh.
but we know Ravens fans, most of them, they hate Peyton Manning because they feel like the Colts franchise was stolen from them. How do you feel being from Indiana?
Well, being from Indiana, that all happened way before my time.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So you're young, then. That's cool.
Well, I probably, hopefully, look young.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do. That really happened before my time, though.
Oh,
and he was too young for all that. Yeah.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Oh, this is the Urban Sports Scene Podcast. The Urban Sports Scene Podcast. You can follow
us. Doesn't know who we are, people. It shows you how tough we are.
It's okay. You can follow us at www.walio.podbeam.com. You got a pen?
All right, well, I'm going to keep going. Fish, you can answer all the questions.
Thanks, guys.
I had a bunch of questions to ask you guys in regards to Albert Haynesworth and Strasburg, and did that get caught up with the John Wall news? With John Wall's news, it's not really John Wall's news, but the Wizards got the number one pick. Was that lost in all the Strasburg and Albert Haynesworth news at the time?
I don't think so, because getting a number one pick is big in sports. And I think right now, I mean, it was like just headlining in sports in general. You know, with, you know, Strasburg, he was the number one pick. John Wall was the number one pick. So, I mean, I think it was a lot of big news going on anyway.
Okay, we'll get more to John Wall here in a second. But my last question, and like I said, Fish, you can answer it. Did this give, or why didn't this give Wizards fans hope when it was announced that the Wizards were having the number one pick?
I think the reason why is probably because of Kwame Brown, the last time they had a number one pick. So, and when you think about it, every time they get top choices, they usually don't do anything, so pretty much a letdown from past choices. So I think that's the main reason why.
Look, we have lost half our show, Wally, and we would see that out and about in the bar, signing autographs, giving Valerie the contact information for our show. we're trying to increase our fans and blow up here in the future. But anyway, this is a fun topic that we're about to move on to. We're going to move on. We were just at what date were we at just now? Was that May 5th? Somebody let me know.
May 4th.
Okay, we were at May 4th. Let's jump ahead. No, actually, we were at May 19th.
May 19th,
when,
excuse me.
When it was announced that the Wizards were going to get the number one pick. But let's jump ahead a week. May 26th, it was announced that a Brooklyn exotic dancer was suing Albert Haynes for $10 million on claims that he impregnated her and then abandoned her. And this was all according to the New York Post. What were your thoughts at the time? And should the Skins, again, should they have traded him?
Well, I mean, I don't think you can necessarily trade him for impregnating a woman and abandoning her. There are a lot of NFL players that do that and a lot of men in general that do that. So I don't think you can leave him for that, but I don't think they could trade him for that. But it just, to me, it just makes, like you said, DC Sports was dominated by Albert Haynesworth, and this is just another episode of Albert Haynesworth dominating the headlines.
Man, I wish Albert Haynesworth would have had a reality show during that time. That would have been great. But, I mean, it's part of being a football player. What football player doesn't get a stripper pregnant? Isn't that the reason why we have football wives and basketball wives and shows anyway? So, I mean, hey, it is what it is.
That's a great point. I was, I guess, coming from a publicity standpoint, but that's an excellent point, man. Dion and Pilara, I heard Pilara was a...
that's actually interesting that you said about an athlete getting someone pregnant. Actually, I heard that the reason that Antonio Cromartie was traded from the Chargers was because of the paternity suits, the seven kids that he had.
And he needed front money to pay them.
Yeah, he needed the front money to pay all of them. That's why he was actually traded to the Jets.
Wow, man. And you would think that Pac-Man Jones would have been in this headline, not Albert Haynesworth. So, It was a curveball, but again, the year was dominated by Haynesworth, as we've seen. But let's move ahead. We just discussed this guy. Valerie gave some thoughts on it. June 8, 2010, jumping ahead about a little more than a week, Steven Strasburg made his MLB debut against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Was it the most anticipated debut ever? I'm talking on a national scale, not just D.C.
I think it was. I clearly think it was.
On the national scene.
I think it was.
I think in baseball, I think, yeah, because as far as rookie athletes in baseball, I mean, usually you have to wait a few years for them to come up. But for baseball, I mean, this probably hasn't been this anticipation since, I mean, who knows? It's probably been, you know, 50, 60 years. Probably since Jackie Robinson.
Well, I'd say probably Dwight Gooden.
Dwight Gooden was in the minor league for a year or two. So, yeah. I mean, just to think, I mean, this type of anticipation for a player that really hasn't played that much professional baseball, I mean, it's been a long time.
Well, I'll say this in terms of, you know, the national media and whatever. I think it's one of the biggest things that I've ever seen in my lifetime in terms of sports. I think that you have to have a picture of phenom be that highly publicized and produced that way, especially on that night. It was remarkable to me.
On June 8th, Steven Strasburg recorded 15 strikeouts, and the Nats got a red W. So does that make this the most impressive debut ever for DC sports figures?
Ooh. Absolutely. I mean, off the top of my head, I cannot think of another DC sports figure that came out that actually lived up to the hype. Not just lived up, but surpassed it.
I can think of one real quick. Chris Webber had a great debut.
Chris Webber's first game as a Bullet, I think he had a game winner.
No, they lost. Him and Cabaccini ran into each other for alley-oop.
Oh, they talking about lost. John Wall's first game was pretty good, too.
No, it wasn't.
I thought he had a double-double.
No, he had a bad game.
Did he really?
Yeah. Shooting-wise, he might have had a double-double.
Okay. I mean, I think it's been a while because when you think about the type of players that DC has had, we haven't had a star power of that magnitude in a long time.
Speaking of John Wall, on June 8th, the same day this Strasburg mania was going on, Baseball Tonight was here, ESPN, national media, the sale of the Wizards to Ted Leonsis was approved. First of all, was that overshadowed by Strasburg? I don't think many people were talking about it because of Strasburg. Also, was this an added sign that the Wizards were starting to move in the right direction?
Absolutely. I think Ted Leonsis has, if you've just followed him in the business world, then you know that he has a knack for turning around businesses that are underperforming. I think he's doing the same thing with the Wizards. I think the Wizards are headed in the right direction. Once he gets rid of Ernie Grunfeld, it'll help accelerate that move into the right direction.
I mean, I agree with Will. I mean, he has a proven history in the business world and also on the sports world with the, what he did with the Capitals. As far as the sale and the purchase of the Wizards, we pretty much have been known that his time was going to pretty much come very soon.
With that being said, can his success with the Caps translate to NBA success?
I think so. The reason being is he likes to groom homegrown talent and keep young players around, which is something the Wizards haven't really done in the past. I mean, probably since the 70s with Wes Unseld.
Let me ask you, what you saying that? Are you saying that Austin Freeman is going to be the Wizards draft pick? He's homegrown.
I'm talking about as far as players they draft and develop.
Yeah, Wally
he loves Georgetown.
It was a Georgetown joke anyway. It was premeditated. Wally didn't pick up on it. But
I heard it.
I'm hoping Ted Leonsis does well with the Washington Wizards.
I think he is. He's definitely gotten ahead in the right direction.
All right, well, that was June 8, 2010. Let's move exactly a week later. Alvin Hainsworth came out and said he will attend mandatory minicamp. By that night, he changed his mind and said he's not coming and wants a trade. Remember, he had already been paid at the time. So was he trying to force the Redskins' hand, so to speak?
No, I think we all change our mind. Evidently, something that happened during the day that none of us know made him change his mind, and he decided he didn't want to go to mandatory minicamp.
Now, I think he looked at his bank statement and realized there's no purpose coming. I got paid already. I think that's what changed his mind. He got his bank statement in.
That's a good statement.
He cashed his $21 million check. What's the purpose coming
straight
in?
Straight cash, homie. Raymond
family
said
family feud
it.
Style. Good answer, cash, good answer, good answer. I totally agree. Well, anyway, the year was ups and downs. Let's move on. We're going to take a commercial break after this. 9 days after the Hainsworth whole I don't want to come news came out, the Wizards selected John Wall, had a big party for him. That was June 24th. My question to you guys, very simple. Can a championship team be built around John Wall?
Around him as, I think you're going to have to bring, as the focal point, yeah, but you're going to have to bring the right complementary pieces around him.
I mean, anytime you draft or you pick up a highly talented or a very talented point guard, you have an opportunity to win a championship or be successful in this league. You know what I mean? Steve Nash, Chris Paul, you can be successful. So you're building something to a championship. Now, you know, they have young pieces with Nick Young or whatever. So whatever, any additional picks they can get or any additional talent they can get to build around John Wall, yeah, most definitely they can win a championship.
Okay, real quick, let me ask the question. What do you think the Wizards need? Because the Chicago Bulls, they're trying to build a championship team around Derrick Rose, but the pieces they have around him don't seem to fit, in my opinion, as the alcohol beverages are arriving. You guys are all distracted. So if y'all need me to rephrase the question, I don't drink alcohol, by the way. Hello, everybody in my church. So do y'all need me to rephrase the question?
No, y'all, we're listening. We're listening. I don't know what you're talking about alcohol. I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't like Joe Kim Noah, Taj Gibson. You like Lou Aldane. I don't think the Bulls have a championship team right now. I'm comparing John Wall to Derrick Rose, basically. What do the Wizards need to do to build a championship team around him? Steve Nash, as you mentioned, he has won a championship, and he's had a good chance. But how do you build a championship team around a point guard? Nobody has it. Darren Williams, Chris Paul, no great point guard in the league has a championship team around them. So how can you do that? How can you build a championship team around a point guard?
It's
never been done.
I'm talking about, well, you can do it because, I mean, they did it. The Lakers did it with Magic Johnson. So
that's,
I mean, it can be
areas.
Done. Are we just talking about this era period?
Whatever you want to say.
Yeah, okay, I mean, you can do it. I mean, it depends on like, anything, how great the player is. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Jordan was a great two. Jordan was a great two guard. Shaq was a great center. Whatever you're great. If John Wall ends up being the best point guard in his era, he has an opportunity to win a championship whenever you're the best at.
I think with Magic Johnson and all those guys, how they had Magic, I don't know how they even was getting these top picks and they were going to the playoffs, getting Worthy and Kareem and Michael Thompson. Basketball must have been corrupted in those days, but do I think they can build around John Wall? Reason? No. John Wall's a Robin. They need a Batman somewhere.
Ooh,
now, are they going to be able to draft the Batman? Are they going to sign a draft?
John Wall is a Robin?
I'm just saying right now, John Wall is either going to be a Robin or a Batman, and he don't have no sidekick.
I think John Wall at the moment is going to be a Batman.
Before we take a break, I'm sorry, did you have something?
Hold on, as I take a sip of my Remy, let me retort. Now, I do think you can build a championship again around John Wall. As with any great player, a great player like John Wall makes, he rises
John Wall
the
great.
He will be.
He has the ability to.
All right, he has the ability to be great. Right now, he's not great.
No, no. He's not. He's definitely not great right now.
All right, I told you we got to get ready to take a break, but one quick question before we take that break. I know I said that already, but an additional quick question. Oh, the food is here. Great. Did the Pistons build a championship team around Isaiah Thomas?
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
They did?
Yes, they did.
So that proves it can be done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we said that, but that's a different era.
Yes, they're like Fitz said, like it's a valid point.
Good argument. We got our food. Hey, man, we big ups to the waiter right here in front of us. We're going to take a break.
Yeah, thanks, Joel.
When we get back, we're going to discuss conditioning drills. It's the Urban Sports Scene Live from the Champions Bar Grill in Baltimore, Maryland.
Besides being NBA champions, what do Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott share in common? Hi, I'm Dr. Griffin Rogers, bringing you healthy moments from the NIH. I'm the director of the National Institute of Diabetes, Digestive, and Kidney Diseases. During their basketball careers, both Alonzo Mourning and Sean Elliott battled kidney disease and returned to the game after getting transplants. Although they share a unique story, there's nothing unique about kidney disease in our African-American community. We are disproportionately affected by kidney failure, and for some patients, kidney transplantation may be the best treatment option that allows them to live much like they did before their kidneys failed. But here's the problem. The number of organs donated by our community is low, which means it's hard to match kidney donors and recipients. To learn more about kidney donation, visit organdonor.gov or mymagicdc.com. This is Dr. Griffin Rogers. Join me next week for more healthy moments.
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. We're sitting here live at the BWI Marriott Champions Bar and Grill. Will's eating his steak with some enchiladas, tacos,
quesadillas
over there.
Hey,
they had to go get Ray some more guacamole in the back, but we're going to keep this roundtable discussion.
What's up with y'all on Applegee's, man?
Applegee's, we're on a little break right now for the holiday season. Right now, we can catch old episodes of us talking about various college sports. Right now, we're on a little break. We're going to get back started up probably after New Year's. We'll get basketball season back going, so check out for basketball season and other topics down in Texas.
Hey, and also website.
Yeah.
Applegee's Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, hey, I was hit it for www.blogtalkradio.com/Applegee's. Applegee's is spelled A-P-O-G-E-E-Z-S.
Yes, sir. And speaking of Blog Talk, Wally and I, we going with Jersey Mike Jr. and West Coast Steelers fan Thursday nights, 9 p.m. on the Sports Crib, man. Hey, the show is high. Last week, Mills Lane's son did a tight interview in regards to boxing, man. If you missed it, I feel pretty bad for you. But anyway, DC Sports, Roundtable, it's been going great. We're now in the summertime, July 29th, 2010. Albert Haynesworth fails his first conditioning test. At that time, we knew he lost 32 pounds, and we knew all the drama he had going on. We've been discussing it all this time. Most appeared at the time, I'm talking about speaking to the fans, to be on board with his treatment, how Shanahan was putting him through a conditioning test. We said last week Jay Glazer was in town, a lot of the big media names. So at the time, were you on board with how he was being treated?
No, I wasn't on board. I thought he was being treated unfairly. I mean, honestly, I thought that, you know, I think, you know, a couple older football players said that, you know, conditioning drills weren't even really relevant, you know, during the shuttle time. That wasn't relevant in terms of conditioning, so I didn't get the whole thing at the time, and I still don't get it to this day.
Wow. Well, my opinion was the consensus was on board with how he's been treated. I liked it. I thought it was funny, and I thought he deserved it in a sense the way he was acting. I mean, you got paid all that money, but my feelings have now changed now that I know what I know. I want to know the same thing from you guys. Have your feelings changed, or did they stay the same?
For me personally, it stayed the same. I thought that the coach was a slime ball before, and I still do to this day.
That's the alcohol talking for you.
No,
Bob.
That's the truth.
I thought at the time he was being treated unjust. I think they were riding him a little bit extra just because he didn't show up for the voluntary workouts, and also. No, and seriously, and also because they really didn't, I don't really think they wanted to keep him around. I think they, you know, they gave him the ultimatum, take the $21 million or leave it. And he took it because he was supposed to be paid the $21 million, and he screwed him. So I think they rode him unjustly.
I think it's a little bit on both sides here, now that we know what we know. I think Shanahan, you can see in the type of coach Shanahan is, but at the same time, you would think you would want more from Albert Haynesworth as a veteran to maybe do a little bit what Donovan McNabb is going through right now, so to be a better team player, I guess.
All right, 2 weeks later, we all know, on August 7th, Haynesworth finally passed his conditioning drill after his knee hurting, after him sitting out, after it raining one day. But we know Haynesworth had much more drama along the way, including, you know, the unfortunate death of his brother, which occurred in late October.
What sucked, though? Which really sucked?
It was in October, which was unfortunate, and, you know, that's a personal matter. We want to keep personal and professional opinions separately. We'll get back to him and his eventual season in the suspension. However, let's now focus on other news, including the Capitals, some more Strasburg news, Donovan McNabb's benching. Again, we'll get back to Haynesworth, but we're going to close out this roundtable discussion with Gilbert Arenas and his trade and giving our D.C. sports predictions for 2011. However, let's go ahead and start with Strasburg. On August 27th, it was announced that Strasburg will need season-ending Tommy John surgery, which was unfortunate. Not season-ending, career-threatening, I'm gonna say. We know everyone felt bad for the most part. I hope you felt bad for the man. What's his future, in your opinion?
What, you want to go first?
If this were, I say, about 10 years ago, I would say his career is done. But now, because of the technology, because of the innovation that's been made in medical technology, I think that he has a chance to still be a very successful and dominating pitcher in the major leagues.
Yeah, and, you know, like Will was saying, due to Tommy John surgery, a lot of pitchers, you know, come back throwing even harder. You know what I mean? So just imagine, like, Strasburg getting better because of the surgery. Just think about that. He can actually get better because of the surgery.
I think that, you know, like Will was saying, if this was 10 years ago, his career might have be down the drain because of the type of technology we have now. I think it's not going to be another maybe 2-3 seasons before he really gets back. I mean, he's going to be out of baseball for this whole season. It usually takes about a whole full season to get back. So I think we really won't hear about him till about, you know, maybe 2013 or maybe 2014. Because you think he's going to sit out 11. I mean, he's going to need that 12 season to get back. I think he's not going to be until that All-Star, maybe Cy Young caliber type pitcher to about 13.
As I said, I mean, fans were devastated about Strasburg at the time, and we had a few months to get over the Capitals losing. But about a month later, the Capitals had big news. HBO announced that the Capitals and Penguins were going to be featured on the 24/7 series for the Winter Classic. Back in May 27th of this year, was announced that the Caps were chosen to play the Penguins on New Year's Day, which was huge for the organization. And that's my question. What does it do for the Capitals franchise getting this exposure?
I'm not going to just say the Capitals franchise. I'm going to say for NHL in general. Over the past couple of years, fans have kind of not been in tune to the NHL, to say the least. I think that them getting a 24/7 series not only helps raise the profile of the Capitals, but also of NHL.
But in spite of how positive this news was, or exposure, do all DC hockey fans really care about the championship? Is this all for naught?
I mean, obviously, I think DC fans, period, won a championship anyway. So they'll take a Capitals championship if they can get it. You know what I mean?
They'll take a Georgetown Hoyas championship.
Oh, yeah, they'll definitely take that too as well. We all know that.
Oh,
but,
really?
Yeah, so, but, you know, in terms of going on, we were saying about the 24/7, it's the NHL promoting the biggest rivalry in hockey right now. Ovechkin versus Crosby, two of the key main players. Putting on HBO, it's like a boxing fight, you know, Mayweather 24/7,
yeah,
whatever.
Like,
you got the two biggest figures in hockey right now going at it. Don't get any bigger than that.
I mean, like Wally was saying, I mean, they're marketing the players. There's no difference between LeBron James playing Kobe Bryant on Christmas. There's no difference.
Or even Magic and Bird.
Yeah, I mean, they're marketing their players. I mean, that's what you do. I mean, just like, you know, the Sunday night or the opening game of the NFL season, you're going to market those two premier teams. So, I mean, it's part of the business of sports.
I kind of disagree with you guys in the sense that the D.C. area wants to see a pro team win a championship. It would be great for the town of Georgetown or Maryland wins a championship, but D.C. needs at least one pro team to win a championship. Right now, we're in a drought.
Yeah.
The longest drought in professional
drought
sports.
Drought is an understatement.
You're from this area.
Stop jazz, man. It's your hometown.
This is your hometown.
It is my hometown, but I do take...
You're not from
but
New York.
I also want... No, I know that. And I don't act like I am. Trust me, son. But I also want... This is my town, and I want a championship team to represent me. But I just don't see any professional team that's going to get a championship anytime soon.
Sounds like that's the liquor talking. But anyway, we need to take one last break. Hopefully, we got the cardiovascular endurance to finish the show. Hopefully. Y'all know where I'm going, fans out there. We're live, urban sports scene. What's the name of this place? I can never remember when it comes
Champions
to merchandise.
Champions
Some DC doesn't have.
Champions Bar and Grill, Baltimore, Maryland.
Urban sports scene.
What should I do? Should I admit that I've made mistakes? Should I remind you that I've done this before?
Should I give you a history lesson?
What should I do? Should I tell you how much fun we had? So, this went well. Should I really believe I ruined my legacy? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Should I have my tattoo removed? Want to see my shiny new shoes? Should I just sell shoes? Shiny new shoes? Or should I tell you, I am not a role model? Hi, Chuck. Seriously, what should I do? Should I tell you I'm a championship chaser? Did it for the money? Rings? Should I be who you want me to be? Should I accept my role as a villain? Maybe I should just disappear. Should I stop listening to my friends? They're my friends. Should I try acting?
You just gotta deal with the heat, man. Be patient. After a while, the temperature drops, and everything is free and easy.
Should I be writing this down?
Uh-huh.
Should I make you laugh? Should I read you a soulful poem? Shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. But still, like air, I'll rise. Or should we just clear the decks and start over? Coming through here! What should I do? Should I be who you want me to be?
Welcome back to the Urban Sports Scene. We're still here at Champions Bar and Grill, BWI Marriott. Continue our roundtable discussion on DC sports. Where we leave off at, right?
We left off in September, and it's a touchdown for the Vikings. Nice. Michael Vick, man, he's struggling this game. Anyway,
yes,
I'm sorry, I'm getting
yes,
sidetracked.
Is.
This is McNabb's former home, Philly, we're watching. So let's get started with McNabb. I alluded to that before the commercial break, the whole cardiovascular endurance. And, of course, I'm talking about the benching in Detroit. Donovan McNabb was benched by Mike Shanahan on October 31st. And Mike Shanahan gave some weird explanations, as we all know.
Yeah.
Did any of you suspect at the time that this was the end for Donovan McNabb in D.C.?
Well, I remember in a prior show, I said cardiovascular system, you know, I mean, back then, with its condition, obviously. But in terms of that, yeah, I didn't agree with it. We all thought it was slow. I mean, we all thought that Shanahan was slow for doing that and being, like, disrespectful to Donovan McNabb and thought that we were slow, honestly, to think that we could even believe that kind of nonsense.
Did you think it was the end for Donovan McNabb back then, though?
Oh, no, I didn't think so at all. My bad. Not at all.
Because when I first saw it, that's not the first thing that came to mind, but watching ESPN, Chris Mortensen, and Schefter, especially, you know, that's Shanahan's boy.
Yeah.
I said, maybe McNabb won't be back next year.
I looked at it myself as, like, you know, I looked at it more like Kyle Shanahan, you know, wanting to see Rex than anything at the moment, at that time.
I said from the get-go, Donovan McNabb is going to play one season with the Redskins. The reason I said that is because I know that with their owner, if he's going to bring a player of that caliber over and pay the price that they paid, which was 2 draft picks, he's going to sign you immediately to a long-term contract. People said that it's a new regime, this, that, and the third. But I knew, me personally, I thought that Donovan McNabb would only be here for one season. And it's been consistent with that.
But, I mean, you know what? I do agree with you. One point, the, you know, it still stays the same in terms of how business is done over here. But I'll say this. It has nothing to do with the owner, though. It has nothing to do with the owner. This situation has nothing at all to do with Daniel Snyder.
I mean, I don't think this situation shouldn't shock anyone when you look at the history of the Redskins. Think about Jason Taylor. Think about, you know, you can even think about Dion. You can even think about Marty Schottenheimer. They brought in high-name people, that was supposed to be here for years to come stayed 1 year and left. So, I mean, it wasn't a really overly shocked thing for it to happen to me.
All right, my next question pertaining to October 31st, the benching. Was Shanahan's character now in question if it wasn't already? At that time, was it in question?
Yeah, I thought it was a question. I thought that, you know, especially the lies he was telling everybody in terms of, like, Donovan, he was too tired to run a two-minute drill or things of that sort. I feel like, you know, it was in terms of an individual just dissecting and watching it and seeing how things are. You looking back and someone telling you this, a veteran quarterback can't run a two-minute drill because he gets too tired. You look at him like, okay, you must be smoking something.
Well, for me, when Mark Sereth, who loves Shanahan, played for him, was on ESPN, Mike and Mike, and NFL Live, whatever, flat out criticized the explanation, the handling of the entire situation. I said, Shanahan, his character is in question. And these things we didn't know when he was in Denver. I was surprised. I actually had respect for him. But at that point, that's when I did start to question.
I'll say the difference, just to piggyback off of what you said, him coaching in D.C. and him coaching in Denver are two different things. D.C. is an ultra-hypersensitive town where people want to know all the information all the time. In Denver, if he just said it was a cardiovascular problem, people would have took it as the gospel and said, okay, coach, because you won two Super Bowls. But in D.C., it's a different type of atmosphere. It's a different town. It's a different type of fan here.
Yeah, but you know what? To say what you said, Will. No, Fish, you go ahead, man. You go ahead.
I was going to agree with Will. The type of business that we do in D.C. is a lot different than Denver. D.C. is a lot more fast-paced. We get things done here. I mean, this is where big decisions get made. This is some little ski resort town like Denver.
I mean, in terms of that, D.C., I mean, I agree with Fish, too, in a certain way. I think D.C., in terms of the Redskins fans, in terms of the Washington Redskins, are true fans. More knowledgeable about football than people in Denver. I'm sorry.
You guys,
man, these are very, statements.
They're more happy with the Colorado Avalanche hockey team. You know what I mean? They ain't worried about the Denver Broncos. They just got two Super Bowls with Shanahan in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? So
I'll just say to me, D.C. is a more football-crazed town than Denver.
It's the truth.
I mean, that's the East Coast for you. I mean, you can look at D.C., Philly, New York. I mean, you can look at the division which the Skins play in is that type of way. Because Wally talking about AFC West all the time. I mean, their type of history. I mean,
bunch of losers.
I mean, it's much more, you know, football's king in the AFC East. It's like everyone is in there to win. And the AFC West is like, okay, you guys can win this year. We'll win next year. I mean,
like
I
told,
like difference.
I think I made a point. Well, not to go off track, like. I think we were talking about the San Diego Chargers one time, and I was just talking about the culture out west where people are a lot more laid back, and it isn't as serious as it is out here.
By the way, I love Denver. It's a beautiful city, very clean. D.C. obviously is more important. We don't want to get sidetracked. As Will said, quickly, my last question, and by the way, I think Denver is more of a baseball town. I think the Rockies are more important than the Broncos. But anyway,
let's finish up.
Would McNabb have led the Redskins to a comeback had he stayed in the game that day?
Against the Lions?
Yeah, against the Lions, yeah.
I think he was more better prepared to lead a comeback than Rex.
Why?
I mean, Rex hadn't played the whole game. You cannot sit up here and tell me that for the previous 13 weeks, that's including training camp and the regular season, that Donovan McNabb didn't practice the two-minute drill. I refuse to believe that.
I think to emphasize on Will, Rex Grossman hasn't been in a regular season game in a few years up until that point. And that's the major thing right there. Is how you going to tell me a guy who hasn't played in a regular season football game in years is going to be able to march a game-winning drive down the field?
And we're going to move on. I just want to say really quickly that typically when somebody's getting ready to come to the game, they warm up. He just put his helmet on and went in. So his arm wasn't warmed up anything. We know how difficult that can be, you know. It impacts your velocity. And how long did he last? One play?
One play.
Dominic Sue took it in for the house. Santana tried.
He got hit, fumbled.
Santana tried.
All right, let's move on. This is our final thoughts. We're going to take us to December 7th of this year. Just a couple weeks ago, Albert Haynesworth suspended for the remainder of the year. Let's give our final thoughts on that. Hello. A field goal that gave you 3 points in fantasy. That's that. So we don't have to focus. 10-7
I know that was on 50 yards. I put it like 5 or 6.
Whatever. Oh, 10 points. 10-7 halftime. Vikings.
Seven.
Did you guys hear my question?
7-7.
Let's
right?
give your final thoughts on Hainsworth in the situation.
Actually. Go ahead.
Whatever.
Hainsworth in the suspension. Yeah. Oh. I don't think.
Right,
I feel conflicted. No, sorry.
Is that the sidecar talking?
Huh?
Is that the sidecar taking you somewhere?
I know he's sweating and stuff. He's smiling.
I'm not even sweating.
Smiling.
I see Prince
looking for Valerie. That was her name.
I mean, if you don't gain anything from the suspension, there's no reason to suspend him. I mean, what are they gaining from suspending him? Nothing. So why even suspend him? Let him play. That's if he doesn't like playing football here, that would be more emphasis to make him play football.
That's the point I was
like
going to make.
Saying,
the guy
man,
doesn't want to be
like,
here.
Like I'm going to say, like I feel like this organization, well, not this organization, Shanahan has disrespected Albert Hainsworth in a way. Like I felt like, and I said this early in a prior show, that the man's brother died. And I felt like after his brother died, he handled the situation of him not playing him inappropriately. I think he should have played him. He came back to Washington to play. And if you didn't want him to play, send him back to his family. You know what I mean? And then, you know, then he suspends him. I think he handled Albert Hainsworth totally wrong throughout that whole time period.
All right. Well, that's it for Hainsworth, thank goodness. But 9 days later, McNabb was benched for the season. We already discussed that in length on the past two episodes. However, I do want to say this was a huge or significant bad stretch for Shanahan decisions, and even his son was thrown into this whole thing. So let's give our thoughts on McNabb being benched, and also where does this leave Shanahan in the eyes of fans?
To me, it leaves Shanahan in the eyes of fans. He's not trusted by the fan base. And in D.C., Daniel Snyder keeps his pulse on the fan base because he knows the fan base is the moneymaker for his business. It's like when he didn't want the fans to, when they had a rule against holding up signs, he quickly got rid of that. I'm not saying that he'll let go of Shanahan right now, but I think Shanahan is on the hot seat.
Well, I was going to tell you to say that because we're going to make some 2011 predictions at the end of this show. Wally, did you have any thoughts on?
Well, in terms of that, I think, you know, like I said, I mean, I feel like, you know, in terms of the image Shanahan has in front of, you know, in terms of fans, I think, you know, we all look at him as a disrespectful individual. You know what I mean? I think he's a scumbag, you know, lack of a better term. I think he's a scumbag. I think he's an individual who likes to lie. He doesn't tell, he's not truthful. I mean, he doesn't stand, he doesn't take onus if he create a problem. I mean, I feel like he's the total opposite of Joe Gibbs, somebody who took responsibility of his failures. I feel like Shanahan is arrogant and he thinks that he does everything right. And I think he's a terrible individual and a terrible coach.
Oh, man. Shanahan is not big on fans. Not big on fans listening to this style, though.
I think with Shanahan, though, is that he pulled the trigger with McNabb and with Hainsworth, but can he pull the trigger and fire his own son as offensive coordinator if they struggle next season with their game plan? Was that something he's going to bring up?
That was my prediction for 2011, and he's going to be forced to do that. No, that's okay. No, I like how you think. You think like a great person. We want to close out with Arenas, and we've been basically focusing on professional sports. I want to sidetrack really quickly. This wasn't on our agenda, but Ralph Friesen, what are your final thoughts on his entire career at the University of Maryland, and where do you see his future lying?
Well, I'll just say in terms of not his future, but I'll talk about, you know, Ralph Friesen. He did a great job in Maryland. I think before he came to Maryland, Maryland was nothing in terms of football. Now he made Maryland relevant in terms of bowls. I think Maryland firing was something they had to do. I think they weren't going. I think this firing was a sign of them not trying to be mediocre. They want to take it to the next level, and I think Ralph Friesen kept it at a standstill, and they decided to go elsewhere.
I think that, I think it was the incorrect move to make firing Ralph Friesen. I think Ralph Friesen made Maryland football significant. Before Ralph Friesen, you can't really name me a coach that consistently won. I think he was here 10 years. Out of the 10 years, seven of them he took into a bowl game.
Well, significant is a strong word.
And his, I think with Ralph Friesen, at the beginning of his tenure, he had a good run those first couple years. Then he went through a bad stretch of not being able to make bowl games. I think the thing about his tenure here was it was never consistent of a consistent team on the field. I think the other part is Maryland, if they wanted to get rid of Rolf, they should have did it last season. But because of the situation they had, they put themselves in, they had to wait. Because they had the heir apparent to replace Rolf Regent and Franklin, who takes the Vanderbilt job. But now they're left without a coach, because as much as those rumors about Leach it's not really happened yet. So they need to really focus on who they're really going to bring in if they want to keep the winning going.
Quickly, where do you see Rolf Regent next year?
Maybe he could sign. I mean, he used to be an NFL coach in terms of, like, he was an offensive coordinator or online coach. You know, I think maybe he'll sign on that way. I don't see him taking a head coaching job this next season. Maybe when something opens up for him.
I think I see him at a Division II school. I think he's a little.
No, I mean. No, I like that. I actually
no,
think
just
that's
because
a good one.
It's not as much pressure. He's a little bit older in age. So I see him at a Division II school, to be honest.
I'll Morgan State, man.
Because Maryland, they struggle with some, like, Middle Tennessee State, all types of people during his tenure, especially towards the end.
I would hate to say this, where I see Rolf Regent at next year. I see him having a heart attack because with the downtime that he's going to have sitting around, I really do not see anything good happening with him.
That's not what I was expecting. Mark Mangino is still living. And you're going to bring Mike Leach. You know, they're all still living.
Jarris had his heart attack. He made him lose weight.
Dang, tough, man.
I'm not going to go there and spend too far, but in one word I could think of to describe Rolf Regent's tenure in Maryland is incomplete. He didn't get to finish the job.
Yeah, I know, that's true.
Which
that's
is
true.
Unfortunate, but the change was needed. I disagree with Will, but we got to move on. We're going to close out with a bang. Gilbert Arenas traded to the Orlando Magic on December 18th, 2010, just 1 week ago. Is Gilbert a good fit for the Orlando Magic?
Yeah, I think so. I think they get it. Like we said in our last episode, that, you know, Gilbert Arenas is a clutch player, and I think Orlando needs an added clutch player to go down the stretch, because Dwight Howard can't shoot free throws. They got Turkoglu, so they got some clutch players they can go with.
I think he is a great fit. The year that Orlando went to the finals, outside of Turkoglu and Jameer Nelson, they only had two players that can create a shot for themselves. Gilbert Arenas gives them another player that can create his own shot and shot for others.
Rafer Austin could create his own shot. Cordy Lee could create his own shot. That's two, and that's not the ones you were thinking of.
Rashad Lewis
could create his own shot.
Rashad Lewis could not create his own shot. Rashad Lewis is a spot up shooter.
Off the dribble against Ford. Off the dribble against Ford.
No, I said create his own shot and shot for others.
Off the dribble against Forrest, Rashad Lewis can do it. Off the dribble against Forrest, he can do it.
Nah, he's not a distributor.
Oh, he's a distributor. Now, okay.
Yeah, I said.
Okay, I wish you will.
The Long Island is against you.
Will. You're right. Let the Long Island get into you, though. Don't get into, I mean, not Long Island.
I'm not drinking Long Island.
This is a DC discussion.
Side.
We do not want to place the focus on the Orlando Magic. So my next question is, where does this leave the Wizards in terms of the teams now officially John Wall's? So what's the next step? We talked about John Wall. What's the next step for the Wizards?
This team is going in the direction I thought they would. Build and destroy.
What?
No, I mean destroy and build. Excuse me.
I was about to say.
No, Taylor Johnson has come in. He's had a plan to dump salary and to bring in young players and to groom the young players in their system.
He's smiling the entire time he's saying all this stuff. He's tipsy. I'm not even taking anything you say in consideration at this point, because I don't know what's going on, what's real, what's not. That could be the alcohol talking. What did you say, and if you said anything, but I'm sorry.
I mean, I think, you know, me and Ray, I think we had this discussion on the Sports Crib show and about the Wizards in terms of the state of the Wizards and whatnot. And I think that, okay, check it out then. Did you listen to it? Anyway, I might get into that. But we talked about in terms of building the team around Nick Young and John Wall. I think those two are the centerpieces in terms of the Wizards right now at the time.
I said on the Sports Crib that I don't know what the next step is. You know, free agency is going to be the obvious answer, but who's going to be out there that they can actually acquire, who wants to come to this town?
Okay.
Because in college, there's no consensus great player. It's not like it's a Blake Griffin or even a John Wall coming up in this year's draft. At least, I don't know of one yet, and I watch a lot of college basketball. So, you know, what next step they need to take to just become a playoff contender. My opinion was fire Flip. I think Flip needs to go.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the culture change is the big thing that they're trying to change before personnel.
Matter of fact, I mean, I remember a couple years ago when, you know, there was an opening. Avery was out there. You wanted Avery Johnson instead of getting Flip. And I disagreed with you, and, you know, and now I can look back and say you were right. Because Flip, in terms of anything, to me, hasn't really built these young players up to be even better than they could be. I think if he even played Nick Young a year or two ago, they could be a better team. You know what I mean? So in that regard, I think that, you know, Flip didn't do a good job in, you know, building his young talent.
Well, I think one model, well, not a model, but I think one model that they need to maybe do with this franchise is maybe what the Hawks did and maybe what the Bulls did is try to get as many first-round picks as you can, groom as get as much young talent as you can, and try to grow a little bit that way. Because you saw what the Hawks did. I mean, they're not really, they've never been a franchise known for winning anything in basketball, but they got a lot of young players that can at least run up and down the court. If they ain't going to win, they at least entertaining you to watch. And I think right now, that's all you really need in the East.
Well, I do think as a coach, the Wizards do need a disciplinarian. They do need it because, you know, someone who won't tolerate players like Andre Blotz over dribbling as a four. You know what I mean?
Well, I was going to compare the situation. You said the Hawks. I'm going to go Portland. Portland, they got some young talent, but they also had a huge culture change with Nate McMillan coming in. And they won as a young team versus Atlanta, didn't we?
Well, I'm just sticking with them because they play in the East.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, both are good examples. I'm not knocking it. I do hold the Wizards fire flipping. And the reason why I was saying that is because this town is impatient. I don't think this town wants to wait 5 years, although I think it's going to take that. But, we want a winner here.
But say if they do fire Flip, what head coach out there would you want them to get?
All right, let me think about it. Go ahead.
Well, the thing about with basketball is that it doesn't take that long to become start winning, especially in the East. I mean, the East isn't as dominant as the West is. So, I mean, how hard is it to get a team in the playoffs in the East?
Especially the AC.
Hey, that's a great point. Right now, I honestly haven't had enough time to think that out. On the top of my head, though, Larry Brown came to my mind. He's a guy that makes a quick fix wherever he goes. He took the Bobcats to the playoffs, for goodness sakes.
He also trades like half of the roster, though.
Is that his decision?
Yeah, he had the power.
Did he draft Darko? He won Carmelo Anthony?
No, that was Joe Dumars.
Again, I think a culture change is needed more than a personnel change. So, there it is, guys. We done made it through in 2010. Hey, the show's been great. I've loved it. You know what I'm saying? Happy New Year to all y'all.
Yes, Happy New Year, everybody.
I want to give y'all the final opportunity. I'm going to go last. I got to think of a new one. What are your predictions or prediction for the 2011 year DC Sports?
Well, I'll go first. You know, I think in terms of for the next year, I think you'll see the Capitals win the Stanley Cup. I think that, you know, I think they had a bad streak at the right time. I think they've learned from it, and I think that it's prime time for them to strike. You know what I mean?
Well, I think losing will continue in 2011 for certain teams. Like, I don't see the Wizards getting better in 2011, but I see the Capitals winning as far as in the NHL playoffs, maybe getting to the championship round before the Stanley Cup, and maybe losing that round. But I don't really see a lot changing.
I agree with Wally. I do think that the Caps will eventually win a Stanley Cup. I think that the Redskins will still be mediocre, as usual, as you've come to expect. I think the Wizards will be... I think the Wizards will have a top five pick. And I think that the Nationals will still be insignificant.
Yeah. Okay, real quick. Who's going to be Redskins quarterback next year before I make my final prediction?
Rex Grossman.
Wow.
You made some bold predictions.
I have to go Wally. I think Rex Grossman.
That sucks. Well, Will, you're right. They're mediocre.
I think it'll be a player that they draft in the second or third. I think they're a quarterback they draft in the second or third round.
Who do you think will start, though, next season, though? Even they draft a quarterback, who do you think they're going to start?
Who will start? Rex Grossman will be the starter.
Wow. The consistency here is Rex Grossman. I don't care anyway. I just want to get your opinions. My prediction, and it's the boldest one. Now, we saw Ralph Friesen go. Gary Williams is next in 2011. He is out of there. A new AD wants to take a new direction. Bye-bye, Gary Williams. So, Maryland fans, I'm sorry. He's out of there. We getting our tables cleared off. That means we have to leave, I think. So, any closing thoughts?
Go ahead, Will.
I just want to wish everyone a Happy New Year, and I also want to thank you guys for letting me be on the show for this year, man. It's been great. It's been a ride, man.
You've been a great partner, man. I'll say this much, man. It's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. This whole year's been a blessing. It's been great. It's been fun working with a great group of guys. Period. And also, I want y'all to make sure y'all listen to Fish and Will on Apple G's Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, not Mountain Time, 8, 9, none of that stuff. Reach them at www.blogtalkradio.com/ApoGees. And also, for the sports crib, see me and Ray Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan.
Man, we're working on a full spinoff show. I mean, we're better than Bill Cosby. He had a different world, and what else? What's the other one that he had? The cartoon. Everybody
Fat
watched it. Fat Albert. So he had three. We get ready to get four. We get ready to pass. You know, he got a show called Little Bill right now. Fish, did you have a closing comment? I'm sorry.
Hopefully, we keep it going in 2011 as far as with our show and everything. We keep expanding our brand, which we have going on right now. USS, our colors are black and green. So, I mean, that's the main thing, expanding our brand into different aspects of just the sports in general.
I like that.
You know, in 2011, I'm also happy that, you know what, my child's going to be born in 2011. We got Harold's daughter's going to be born in 2011. So, I mean, it looks like 2011 might be a big year for everyone's and our circling group because a lot of things is happening. So I look forward to 2011.
Hey, amen, man. I want to make one last comment. And great minds think alike, man. I was just getting ready to say real quick, what are y'all predictions for the urban sports scene in 2011? Will we get a deal with somebody? Will we be on major networks?
Man, we're independent. We're independent.
We follow our own.
Signing with Geffen. Geffen Records.
Who?
Geffen. Geffen Records.
Nah, we follow our own beat of our own drum. I think that we independent. I think that we are going to end up changing the game. I think we're going to get
like
a lot of attention towards
us. I'm
going to
make another prediction. We're
going to
be on satellite radio. It's only one, isn't it? Sirius. So
SiriusXM.
Look out for us.
Watch out for us.
And we changed the game like the email address. Y'all know it already.
That's change.da.game6@gmail.com.
Preach.
We'll catch y'all next year. It's been fun. We look forward to a whole new year, new goals. The Urban Sports Scene live, Baltimore, Maryland. Champions, Bond Girl, I got it right.
Hey, Will, say your little thing for the end of the year.
Championship!